How do we introduce our next guest? A bit, maybe a bit of this. Carter Reardon, good afternoon.
Hi, Ray.
How are you? Good to see you.
Great to see you.
Yeah, punk rocker, former member of the Pogues, and currently wearing a Fontaines DC t-shirt.
Represent.
Yes.
They wear Pogues t-shirts.
Do they?
Sure, I might as well wear a Fontaines shirt.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Great to see you. We've never met, Ray.
No, we actually did.
Come here, was I drunk?
No. It was at someone, the Imrose or some concert or something like that. And we passed. That's because we did actually. You said low, I said low.
Never.
Yeah.
Oh, because do you know, I was with a friend this morning and I said, I'd name dropped. So I said, I'm going in to see Ray Darcy. Oh, and she goes, oh, short shorts, Ray Darcy. I said, tell me more. Because we met at UCD, me and her, and she said she used to see you running every morning in very short shorts. So she said, give him my best and tell him I have fond memories of watching him jog across Belfield. What length are the shorts, he says?
They're running shorts. Now I'm blushing now. I'm blushing. They're normal running shorts.
Well,
they wouldn't be like Paul Mescal shorts. He made the GAA shorts famous.
Well, she said they might have been.
Right, okay. Maybe she's mistaken me for somebody else.
Yeah. You made some old ladies very happy anyway, Ray.
I hope you're not referring to yourself when you say old lady. So you're house hunting, I believe.
Well, yeah, I'm downsizing. I spent the 2 years of the lockdown sitting in my house, just a regular 3-bed semi-D. And it was just me in one room and all these empty rooms. And I just started thinking I might have reached that life stage now where I downsize and get my little old lady balcony and start thinking about...
Will you stop?
No, it's I'm postmenopausal now. And I think the best way of dealing with that is to just celebrate that I've stayed alive long enough to actually... Yeah. Start to qualify as an old lady.
And is that a big thing, being postmenopausal, that you're out the other side?
It's a whole different thing, Ray. It's very interesting because up until you're postmenopausal, you spend your life as a woman, and now lads get it too, getting these beauty messages about anti-aging creams, and you don't know aging until you've gone through the menopause. You think you know what aging is, and there's all these creams that are going to fix it. Once the jowls show up, it's all over, mate. The only thing after jowls and postmenopause is surgery.
Right.
So if you see me and I suddenly have a jawline again, you know, bitch got lifted.
bitch got lifted. We're the same age.
Well, you're looking very well on it.
You're looking very well on
it
as well.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah. So I was really looking forward to talking to you because the Pogues, I'm fascinated by the Pogues.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Know if you know this, but my mum was a huge fan of the Pogues as well.
Oh.
And she interviewed Shane in our kitchen at home in Kildare years
ago. Oh, how lovely.
And it was an amazing meeting of worlds because she's devout Catholic and she's a teetotaler. And there was Shane, and she said, "I believe you're in a band called the Nipple Erectors," and there was a lovely moment there.
That's an icebreaker, isn't it?
Yes, that's nice. It is an icebreaker. But what are your memories of the Pogues?
They're very fuzzy,
yeah,
very fuzzy memories. I was just in with my financial advisor, and he was saying, "You know, you need to earn money. Could you write a book?"
Right.
Write your memoir. And I say, memoirs require memories. It's right there in the name. And I just...
Well, you could look at interviews and read newspapers from the time.
I could make up a load of shite.
Yes.
And just flog it. But
yeah.
I couldn't know.
So it was mad, was it? It was just...
It was. And it was... I disappoint people now when we go down this road because obviously people want the yay, rock and roll, wild stories. And honestly,
I just want the truth.
It was fairly traumatic and stressful. And also I'm an addict and I started very young. And it's just, and the fact that my hippocampus is actually in shreds.
Is it?
I just don't.
How does that affect you?
It means people will tell me things that we did. And I'm just, you know, they'll say, hi, we've met before.
And
I'll be like, why can't I remember?
No, just put your mind at ease. It was fleeting and there wasn't a long chat.
I should be able to remember.
No, you shouldn't.
I'm a Zig and Zag fan. You know, from Dempsey's Den to Ray Darcy's Den. And to not be able to remember Zig and Zag's big brother is just like, oh, no.
I've been thinking, reading and talking about addiction a lot of late, right?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is it not for everybody, obviously, but is it something in just the aging process, you know, because they don't say you come to a certain stage of your life and you get all self-righteous and you shouldn't drink and it does all that harm to you, you shouldn't do drugs and blah, blah, blah. But it's nearly rites of passage, is it? Is it in a way a bit of rites of passage? And then some people like yourself are, you know, unfortunate in that they're addicted. Other people can actually do the rites of passage thing, come out the other side and be fine.
That's a really interesting point. You know, I went to university when I got out of rehab. I was so interested in exactly that, like, what just happened the last 20 years of my life? And the research, which posits a number about 1 in 10 people are addicts, and they think it's a 50-50. They call it the diathesis stress hypothesis. We might call it nature plus nurture, that it's not all in your DNA and it's not all if it's in your family or the way you were raised or if you're in an alcoholic or addictive environment. It's usually people will have something in them and then it will take life circumstances, external circumstances that trigger it. And with me, obviously, if you're a 17-year-old in a band and you're the mascot for stupid drinking, then it's going to trigger
it. That's a trigger. Yeah. That is a trigger.
And
it
was just very rewarded. It was enabled.
Yes.
And it was rewarded. And how are you going to break out of that?
Do you think, we were talking about, this is only the beginning of this chat.
Okay.
We're going to, it'll be finished today, but you're going to come back in at a future date, very near future, and we're going to continue this. Is that okay? That's
sure.
A deal. Okay. But we were talking yesterday about school tours. And one person sent a text in to say that their school tour was to the Carroll's factory in Dundalk. Now, Carroll's used to make cigarettes.
Yeah.
And when they were finished, they got a sample pack of nicotine cigarettes. Real cigarettes. Now, you're in shock there. You're in shock.
Yeah.
But do you think that we'll ever arrive at a similar situation for alcohol?
No.
No, never.
No, because 9 out of 10 people use it for what it's for, to celebrate. You know, there's, ever since humans have been able to write, they've been celebrating alcohol.
Yes.
And it's only us awkward people that insist on getting addicted that spoil it. And we shouldn't be allowed to spoil it for everyone else. My big plea to the world is always, let's be educated about it so we recognise it. Because the big thing for me was I didn't know I was an addict.
See, I don't think we are educated about it. No. Culture Reardon. See, I think a lot of the horrible information about alcohol is kept from us.
Well, maybe that's my job.
Maybe that's your job.
I'll call up my financial advisor and say, me and Ray have worked out what my job is.
There won't be a huge call for it.
Can't write a memoir, but I can nag everybody about alcohol.
Yeah. I don't think that's your personality. I don't think that's your personality at all.
It would be difficult.
So just while we're talking about addiction and drink, you bought your house while drunk, did you?
I did. Don't try this at home, kids. I was very frightened at the whole idea that I would actually have to buy a house. And there was just a friend of a friend was selling, and it was somebody, a buddy I'd go out drinking with, and it was just like, I'll buy you a house. Like, brilliant. And, you know, papers were exchanged and I owned a house. And I never grew into it. It was always too big for me.
I was once in London and I went to Tower Records when you could late at night and had a few jars of me. And I woke up the next morning with a CD that I didn't like. You woke up in a house.
At least it wasn't a tattoo, Ray. You could sell a house or you can swap a CD. This is it. Be thankful that we didn't get tattooed drunk.
Yeah. So that's the arrangement. Now, Cauda Reardon, that's just to whet your appetite for when Cauda returns for a longer interview in the future, in the very near future.
I promise not to nag anyone about drinking.
No, we'll have a chat. Put on your headphones there, because John Spillane, the great John Spillane, is over in Studio 8. How are you doing, John?
Great, thanks, Ray. On fire.
Say hello to Cauda there.
Hi, Cauda. Love you. Love the Pogues.
Hello, John. great to hear your voice.
Yeah, and if we had time, it might happen in the future, you could have done a duet together, but we didn't have time. So, John, what are you going to sing us out with?
I'm going to sing you out with a song called Under That Old Clare Moon. Oh. It's a new song. Song of the Week on Clare FM, lads, twice. And it's only out a year. On fire in the Hit Factory. Are you ready to rock?
Well done, you. Yeah, I'd say, John, thanks.
Thanks, lads.